How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the Cable Radio Network, the American Forces Network, streaming live worldwide, sportsbyline.com, wrestlingobserver.com, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, the most listened to wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Also, now on Saturdays at 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Wrestling Observer Weekends every Saturday and Sunday. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. Obviously, tonight is the WWE TLC pay-per-view. Tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs they have added. Because what could be more exciting than a stairs match where two men wrestle each other and steel steps are illegal? The stairs outside the ring. I don't really know what this means. If you hit somebody with a chair during a stairs match, are you disqualified? We will discuss these questions and so much more on the program today. As always, we will be taking your phone calls. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. That is 855-478-4478. I am up on Twitter at Brian Alvarez, as always. Mike Sempervivi is at Sempervivi. And if you miss any of this information, you can always head up to WrestlingObserver.com. That is our website. Right there on the front page are the phone numbers, the Twitter handles, everything you need to contact the show here this evening. And by the way, if you're listening and sometimes you have a hard time finding the show, I have added a streaming link to Sports Byline on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. If the show is preempted in your area for sports, anything of that nature, if you're listening to this on iTunes or you're listening to a replay somewhere, you can always hear the show live if you go to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. We have the Saturday and Sunday live times there, plus a link to Sports Byline USA. Never miss the show. Back in just a moment to kick it off. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, in fact, Wrestling Observer Weekend, Saturday mornings at 10 Pacific, Sunday afternoons at 3 Pacific, and tonight, of course, moments after this show goes off the air, the WWE TLC pay-per-view is taking place, or I guess it's TLCS, Tables, Ladders, Chairs, and Stairs. Number of matches we're going to preview on this show here tonight. We'll also be talking about the pre-show coming up in a little bit over an hour. It's available on the WWE Network. We've got it here playing in the background. Mike, are you ready? Have you got the popcorn out, the butter, all ready for this TLC pay-per-view here tonight?
Got a bunch of butter, no popcorn. Don't judge me. It's going to be a long night with the TLC show. I'm not sure what's going to be more entertaining, the TLC show or the Terra CMLL show, which is taking place tonight as well.
Oh, that's right. It's been a crazy weekend. We had UFC on Friday night. We had UFC on Saturday night. We've got the TLC show tonight, the Lucha show. There's a New Japan show coming up, if I recall correctly. No shortage of wrestling to talk about. We did briefly talk about the NXT R Evolution, I believe they called it. I hated this name. Thought it sucked. Never even used it once. Takeover, I liked, but R Evolution. Just call it Revolution. I don't know. It's a pet peeve.
And the R was capitalized with parentheses,
yes.
And then the E was capitalized. The
yes.
Rest of it was lowercase.
Let's try to be really cute with a name for this NXT show.
Well,
but
it's
anyway.
Like having the stairs. I mean, if you've watched your WWE programming and you're getting close to Christmas, you will know that most of these toys that they have out, the action figures, have chair swinging motion. They have maybe now they have stairs swinging motion. And I would assume that's the reason why you would have something like this and add it on, just to try to throw something else on there to make it a little bit more exciting. It should be really exciting because you have such men with great dexterity, such as what the Big Show and Luke Harper, or no, I'm sorry, not Luke Harper, Eric Rowan. So I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic, you know, athletic, exciting match with two men in stairs.
You know, I was thinking about this. We had Nigel McGuinness on the show yesterday, and he's got a new project, which you can check out if you go to Kickstarter and look up LA Fights is the deal on Kickstarter. And he was talking about his idea for promotion. He's written a six episode series, I believe, that he's trying to get funded. But the point of this is he was talking about how they would have real storylines based on real things that we hear about in real life, and there wouldn't be any sort of storylines where, for example, somebody was cheating on somebody with somebody else. And you always see these goofy storylines in pro wrestling. And when he said it, I really thought about it, and I thought, you know what? If you do a promotion where you don't do any goofy storylines, you only do serious storylines, then after a year, maybe 2 years, you can throw in a storyline about how somebody is cheating on their lover on this wrestling show. And because you never do things like this, it's going to be a really big deal. And the reason I bring this up is because I was thinking about this TLC pay-per-view, and I have always argued that they have a WWE network. They're trying to sell the network. They're trying to sell pay-per-views on the network. The pay-per-views are the biggest selling point of this network. And so to me, the pay-per-views have got to be special. They've got to be more than a three-hour Raw. So to me, the world title should never be defended on television. I don't even think that the tag team titles, the U.S. title, the Intercontinental title, I don't think any of these should ever be defended on television. Maybe every once in a great while, if you've got a sweeps period or you just want to do something special, but largely you save this stuff for pay-per-view, and you should never have a stipulation match unless you put it on pay-per-view. Now, if you're going to do this, you can build WWE TLC around one TLC match. All you have is a bunch of regular wrestling matches on the undercard. You have one stipulation match in the main event. And if you do it like that, you can make that match so important. That is the main stipulation match. You don't have to waste your time building up stipulations for all of the other matches. You make that one match special. And because people never see stip matches on television, and because there's one big-time important match on pay-per-view, it's going to be a big deal, and people are going to buy it. On this show, they're building up a chairs match and a stairs match. And I think the ladder match will be very good. I don't really have a problem with that. But there's too many stipulations. They're watering down the main stipulations on the show. And you certainly don't want to water down a show when you're trying to sell pay-per-views.
No, you're exactly right. You're absolutely correct. The other thing you could do, though, is from week to week, utilize your television better to where you would want to see these stipulations. If you use the excuse, we are painted into a corner, we have to sell branded pay-per-views, we need to have this, we need to have that. Okay, fine. That's fine. I'll go ahead and go with that. But then you actually have to make your TV worthwhile, and you have to really make your flagship show worthwhile. And that would be Raw, which has not been good leading into these shows. And they have made people, to me at least, I don't know what the pay-per-view numbers are or the viewership numbers, but they certainly, the feeling I get is they're not making anybody excited to see it. I don't know if people are watching live or if they're watching on replay or if they're watching at all. I'm sure they have more viewers now for this show than they ever have in the past because there's people already ordering the network. But do they care? Or are people passionate about it? Do they really want to see it? I don't think they are. And they certainly haven't been happy with the TV. So I also want to say I agree with you when it comes to the title as well. If you're going to be giving away these shows and you have taken people and weaning them off pay-per-view and making these shows, you want to make these shows special, absolutely you should make a lot of the title matches, most of the title matches, and all of the world title matches only, you know, once a month, only on these special events. I think that makes perfect sense. You can have them on the house shows too. I could understand you wanting to do that, but you make these special events special. And then you could actually, if you wanted to, utilize the IC title better, the same way the territories, you know, the top title would be the world title. That guy toured and you didn't see him all that much. But say the U.S. title, that was the number one title in the territory, and guys would be going after that. I think that would be a great idea. I don't think they'll do it because they just probably won't do it.
Hey, we may see the return tonight of the European title. Lana tweeted out a picture of the European title belt and then quickly took it down. Actually, this was on her Instagram, I believe it was. Which, by the way, if you've never visited WWE Lana's Instagram, I strongly recommend you visit it. But regardless, she posted that and then took it down. I don't know if it was a teaser. I don't know if it was on purpose. I don't know if she meant to
Well, if they, you know, if it wasn't on purpose, it did a good job creating some buzz. So hopefully she's not put down for that too much.
It is fairly easy to accidentally tweet something. It is a little harder to accidentally Instagram it, in my experience. And
well,
maybe it's
just the excitement of doing it. And then they said, hey, slap the hand. No, you take that down. You shouldn't have done that. But it creates a little bit of buzz.
Sure. She will be in Rusev's.
Is it spinning like John Cena's when he debuted his new U.S. title? Will it spin?
These Russians aren't making spinning titles. Come on.
That's true.
Ridiculous. She's going to be facing, actually, she won't be facing. Rusev will be facing Jack Swagger tonight. For the U.S. Championship, this match is, in fact, on the main show, the 9,000th Jack Swagger-Rusev match, because God knows, couldn't find any other Americans within WWE to feud with Rusev, and so we're going to get this match one more time. I would say the chances are minuscule that Jack Swagger is going to beat Rusev for the United States title. I suppose anything is possible. Maybe that's the storyline. They beat the real American one more time, and they've beaten the American so many times, they are renaming the United States title the European title.
I think that would actually be something you could do. Them turning it into the European title makes perfect sense with what their storyline's been. Jack Swagger, I'm sure, is there to just go ahead and lose. You think there's any, and it hurts my feelings too, because I am a Jack Swagger supporter. And hopefully, though, with these two, that they just, you know, beat the hell out of each other, which they probably will. And they have actually, for as many times as we've seen it, for the most part, they've been pretty good together. So at least they have that going for them. I just hope, you know, Dutch Mantell doesn't come out and, you know,
stand
turn
by.
On Jack Swagger.
Stand by 1 second. We'll be back in a moment, everybody. I got an idea for the title. We'll take your phone calls as well. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Going to be taking your phone calls at 855-478-4478. That is toll-free, 855-478-4478. The phone line's already ringing like crazy. If you don't get through, just keep trying. And when you call, there is no call screener, so you will just be on hold until we pick up. Make sure when we pick up that you turn off your radio or your internet stream, or you will be very confused by the delay. As I was giving that speech, whoever was on the line hung up, clearly intimidated by all of the rules.
And they must be on their best behavior as well. We have over-the-air affiliates. We don't need your potty mouths.
That's right. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Sammy from New Jersey.
What's up, Sammy?
I haven't called in a couple of weeks, so I'm a little late on a couple of things, but I thought the McMahon interview with Austin kind of proved the point of my horrible promo I cut when I did the live show, or did the recorded show, that he doesn't like wrestling. And what you and everyone was talking about the other day about not wanting people he called up, you're absolutely right, because as soon as they go to the main roster, they're going to be, you know, entertainers and stuff. So I really do hope that the Triple H takes over soon and we get something more like that. And real quick, I haven't heard anybody in the last 2 weeks mention the fact that Austin brought up TNA twice on that podcast. Not that it's a big deal. He kind of buried them on it, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
The fact that he brought it up at all?
Yeah, it's never, you know, it's not like in the 90s when the war was like, you know, a big deal and you bury the other company. It was like, you know, they tried actively to avoid talking about any other competition. And it was the first time those letters have ever been said on anything they have. And Vince cursed on the network that is family-friendly, which I thought was funny.
Right. That's right. Well, you know what? A couple of things. First off, I did love NXT TakeOver. I don't know. I just don't know. None of us know if Hunter is going to do a better job than Vince McMahon. You know, there were moments during the Vince McMahon interview with Steve Austin where I thought, this guy is actually a genius. There were things where when he was talking about the business of pro wrestling, even though he didn't call it that, but he was talking about the business of pro wrestling, I was intently listening and just thinking, man, this guy is as bad as Raw has been of late. I mean, in this country, this guy is clearly the greatest promoter of all time. Maybe he's lost a step. Maybe he is over the hill in terms of doing his job. But when I listened to him speak, I thought, this dude is one of a kind. And I was trying to imagine Steve Austin doing the same interview with Triple H and the kind of answers we would get if he were interviewing Triple H. And I don't know, I just didn't expect I would get that kind of insight and that kind of knowledge of the business out of Triple H. Now, you can still have a great knowledge of wrestling, and the business can still have passed you by. And maybe that is the case with Vince. I don't know. Triple H is in charge of NXT, and they have had a tremendous year. The specials have all been awesome. Granted, he's not writing the shows. He's just overseeing it and everything like that. We just have no idea how it's going to turn out when Hunter takes over. It may be the best thing possible for this business. It may be the worst thing possible for this business. We don't know.
And at the end of the day, it won't matter. No matter what Triple H does, he'll never be able to give you the insight that Vince McMahon has, because Vince McMahon is 69 years old. He helped to revolutionize, or he was the main man in revolutionizing the entire wrestling business, you know, which he did 30 years ago. He started working for his father almost 50 years ago. Now is the early 70s when he took that over, and he's had deals where he ran the Cape Cod arena. He's had failed projects. He worked with Bob Arum on the Evil Knievel jump. He worked, he promoted Sugar Ray Leonard. There's lots of different things that he's done that Triple H is probably never going to be able to do, and that doesn't mean that Triple H will not end his tenure with some incredible stories and successes. They're already the Performance Center, no matter what he does. That was such a fantastic idea, and he's got a lot to go. He talked about turning NXT into a Southeastern, you know, touring territory, the hopes for that, and things like that. That story's still going to be told, but no matter what he does, he'll never be able to give you the insight that Vince McMahon has, because it's just... it's a very special situation.
And one other thing, when you brought up Steve Austin, Steve Austin is generally, he's a straight shooter. He's going to tell you what he thinks about something. He wants to be a good podcast host. He wants to be a good interviewer. And I think that, I mean, he wanted to ask about CM Punk, even though he probably knew full well that he was going to get a very corporate, limited answer to the question of CM Punk, which is, in fact, exactly what he got, by the way. But I think he really wanted to ask that question. He didn't want to pretend that TNA didn't exist, because everybody that buys the network knows that TNA exists. Vince has all of his decrees and whatever. You know, Vince doesn't want you to call it wrestling. Austin doesn't care. To him, it's wrestling. And so he used the word wrestling all the time. So it was a little surprising, I guess, that it got brought up. But I really personally wasn't all that surprised, because Austin wants to do a good job.
Swig a Red Bull for Steve Austin. And one of those times he did bring up TNA. He talked about, if I recall correctly, you know, WWE is the place to work for these guys. Well, there is TNA, I think, was one of the ways he did it. So it's not like he brought it up like, you know, hey, let's talk about Destination America.
That's true. Real quick before I go, something we were just saying about, you know, Vince has, why doesn't he just sell the, it's a wrestling company where he tries to do everything but pro wrestling, like movies and stuff we talked about before. And he even said it, I'm not my father, I'm not in the wrestling business. Well, then sell the company and start a new company. Why does everything have to be under the pro wrestling umbrella if you're not a wrestling promoter?
And that's all. Well, it's
the only thing that really works, and he's made a lot of money with it. He's been doing this for 30 years, too. And the bottom line is, he can't fund any of that other stuff without this thing that he may, you know, detest a little bit, but it's always going to be there.
Well, the other thing is, why would you, if you want to get into movies and you're Vince McMahon, why would you quit wrestling when you can just have a movie division as part of your wrestling company? Which is essentially what he's done. He's gone into movies. He's gone into promotion. He's gone into concert promotion, as you said. He's done all of these other things under the umbrella of World Wrestling Entertainment. So he doesn't give up the cash cow. He doesn't give up what he's best at, but he attempts to branch out under the umbrella of that company. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is, hello? Can you hear me?
I hear you just fine.
Ah, cool. This is Charlie from Pennsylvania. How's it going?
Oh, what's going on, Charlie?
Not too much. I just want to say real quick, I am, I did your, $3.99 special to get a month subscription. Financial situation is a little sketchy right now, so I don't know if I'm going to continue, but it was a great bargain. I loved all the content, and, in the future, I will definitely be re-upping again.
Well, what you can do, because that subscription is going to end a little bit after Christmas, is you can ask for it for Christmas.
Oh, maybe Santa Claus can make my dreams come true.
That's right, exactly. What's on your mind here?
Well, a couple things. One, I mean, I just had to just go. I was listening to you and Dave the other night, and you were mentioning just how into the matches, the Full Sail crowd were at NXT. And this one moment in particular, when Sammy had the belt and was contemplating, you know, hitting Neville with it, and I actually saw grown men in the crowd scream, "No, don't do it."
That's right.
I haven't seen a crowd that immersed in the fiction of a wrestling match in so long, where we're a very cynical audience. You know, kayfabe is dead and the business is exposed and we can't really do that anymore. But something about that match last night just completely suspended the disbelief. And it was astonishing.
You know what else was astonishing about that same spot? Sami Zayn picks up the belt and it was actually right before that. It was when the referee took a bump. And Sami Zayn, instead of going after Adrian Neville, Sami Zayn is looking at the referee and he feels compassion for the referee. And the crowd is yelling at him to just get on Adrian Neville. But Sami, because he's such a nice guy, that's the storyline. He's too nice was the storyline leading into this. He's going over to try to help the referee up. And he gets super kicked and rolled up and nearly pinned. And as soon as this happened, the announcer said, Sammy's compassion almost bit him in the ass or whatever. I forget the term that they used. But the point of it was, I was astonished that the announcers were here telling me the story of the match. They weren't talking about something else. They weren't not paying attention. Like, I watch on Raw all the time. I can't tell you how many times I've watched Raw, and I have to explain everything to myself. Here were the announcers. They knew the storyline. They saw how the storyline played into the match, and they explained the storyline to the listeners at home. I don't even think the NXT commentators are very good, but they did a hell of a lot better job there than the WWE announcers have been doing of late.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Corey Graves, you know, especially for his first time, he didn't do that bad.
He was great.
Surprised. The commentary's gone downhill since Regal sort of left the desk. But I think Graves did a good job. I think the whole show was just phenomenal. But I did have one question for you, sort of related, but not really. I've heard rumors, not from you guys, I don't believe, but just out in the ether, that UHA Nation, who was recently WWE took a look at him for NXT, right?
That is correct.
I heard that he's actually turning them down because he could make more money in the indies. And you know, that might be completely unsubstantiated, but I mean, it's happened before. The Young Bucks have, you know, turned down looks from WWE, and I was just wondering, because I think Dave said the other night.
Well, actually, we got to head to a break, but I will answer your question as soon as we come back. So stick around, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. We have daily news updates, as well as tons and tons of radio shows. On average, two shows every day. We have interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. I got three shows today alone. This one here, and then later on tonight, I'll be back with Vinny talking TLC, SmackDown, and also one of the craziest stories we have ever told on the show as a teaser. I'll also be up with Dave Meltzer later talking TLC, all of the news, taking your questions, and more. Not only do you get two brand new shows every day, but every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available in our archives. Over 6,000 radio shows in the library. You can compare that to the 2,500 hours of footage on the WWE Network. We have nearly double that. Actually, more than double that. My math is not very good. 6,000 hours. It's all available to you for only $10.99 a month. If you are a wrestling fan, there is no better place to spend your $10.99. Last 2 days, we've had people calling in talking about how great their subscription is. I have not requested this. I have not paid these people. I don't even know who some of these people are, to be honest with you. They're just telling you how great the subscription is. So head to WrestlingObserver.com, sign up. You will not regret it. If you like this show, You will love your subscription. WrestlingObserver.com. The last caller was asking about Yuha Nation. The rumors that Yuha Nation has turned down an offer to go to WWE Developmental. The very last that I heard, and this was after those rumors came out, was that most likely Yuha Nation has not turned down a WWE offer. And I firmly believe that you will see him in either developmental or the main roster at some point in 2015. So make of that what you will. I guess we will find out this spring whether I am right or I am wrong. But
I guess he went from the UK right to LA to do the PWG show and is now home. So I don't know if he would have had the chance to turn them down yet.
I think the story was this happened a little while ago. So I guess we shall see. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello there.
Jason from Easton, Maryland.
What's up, Jason?
Sorry, I didn't realize how this worked. Hey, I just got into this again. It's been about 15 years. And I was watching ROH. It's on this on our cable here.
Actually, Jason, can I cut you off for a second and ask you a question? It is very rare that we hear somebody who quit watching 15 years ago and has decided to come back. And for people that have been listening to this show and have been watching Raw of late, Raw has been so horrible the last few months now that it is virtually inconceivable to me that somebody could come back to wrestling. So please explain to me what it was that brought you back. This is a very important call.
You know, I guess maybe a bit of nostalgia. My kid is getting to the age where it might be interesting to him. So
I have heard that one before.
I tend to get obsessive, you know, and want to find out more, and that's how I ran into you guys. And then I ended up getting sucked into it again.
Well, excellent. Okay, so you were watching Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess I was just like comparing the work rate in Ring of Honor to what's going on in WWF or E. It's almost mind-numbing some of the moves these guys are pulling off. Do you think that's actually better, or does the product better, or do you guys feel that it actually prohibits the product from being more realistic, or just seeing these guys who are average-looking people taking such insane bumps and moves and, you know, any of which could be a finisher. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. You've been out for a while, and so you missed the, I'd say probably 2002 through 2009 or so in Ring of Honor. I mean, if you want to go back and get like some DVDs or look online at some of the Ring of Honor stuff from a decade ago, I mean, today, you should see it 10 years ago, what it was.
Japanese junior heavyweight influence.
That's right. It's very much toned down nowadays. It's still pretty crazy, but it is toned down from about a decade ago. And at the end of the day, it's all about storytelling, and it's all about high-level production in wrestling these days. So WWE, I mean, regardless of the in-ring style, because of the way that it looks, because it is the number one wrestling promotion in this country, it's going to be very difficult for Ring of Honor or anybody else to become number one. But certainly, if you're a fan of that kind of action, I mean, it's probably the best place you can go right now is Ring of Honor.
Is the, like, the Young Bucks, those guys in particular, are insane. Are they indicative of what's going on in Japan, or are they truly as unique as they seemed?
They're kind of as unique as they seem. They kind of, there are a lot of, you know, older school people that say they do too much and all that sort of stuff. And then that kind of became their thing. They're, you know, the 59 super kicks and these wacky moves, one of which is named after our boss, Dave Meltzer. You know, that's kind of became their thing. Where they are special is they are so good at it. It's like if you were to watch Dragon Gate in Japan, I think if you watch a lot of it, you start to become desensitized to it, and you But when you see it for the first time, or you haven't seen it for a while and you watch again, you understand how amazing these guys are to hit these incredible wacky moves with the precision that they do. Yes, it is a complete and utter spot fest, but there is something to be said about the quality and the care that they take in it. They do some amazing things. I think the rest of Ring of Honor, your Jay Lethals on Ring of Honor, I think that's more indicative of Adam Cole. I think kind of where generally where indie wrestling is at its best is with those guys, and I think that's what guys on the indie scene, for the most part, obviously everybody likes their big moves, but I think those are the guys that they're trying to strive to be.
Is that your wrestling fan son that's making a run-in right there?
Yes, it is.
Only on this program. Yeah, the Young Bucks.
The network?
If you remember when you were watching ECW, sometimes they'd have these shows and there would be a super kick in every single match, and people would be saying, do we really have to have a super kick in every single match? The Young Bucks have taken that, and they have created a gimmick around it where they're going to do 9 million super kicks. They're going to do all of these crazy moves. It's basically a spoof on the indie guys that do too much. But because they're the only ones doing it, it's working out great.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot more meta than I anticipated.
It is.
And look at the teams they've had to compete with, too. I mean, they play perfectly off of them. They have, you know, O'Reilly and Fish taking the MMA thing in a different direction, and that's where things are at their best, too. Shelly and Kushida, when they're in from Japan, everybody kind of works with each other great.
All right, I want to thank you very much for the call. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Taylor from Indiana. How you doing, Brian?
What's up, Taylor?
Well, you know, I've got a pro over your website. It's great. I've been a subscriber for about 3 years now.
So, excellent. Thank you.
Everybody should do that. Anyway, I just wanted to get your and Mike's thoughts on where Junior goes from here after winning his fight last.
That's a good question. He's talking Junior Dos Santos, who beat Stipe Miocic last night in a 5-round war. And to me, it's one of those fights, I've seen a lot of these lately, actually, where he won the fight, but I didn't see him when the fight was over as this guy's a world beater. He had a rough time beating Stipe Miocic, and he was being beaten for the first 2 rounds. And he came back in the last 3 rounds, but a lot of those rounds were very, very close. So arguably, and I'm sure some people scored it, Stipe could very easily have won the fight last night. So I didn't watch that fight and think, man, you know, Kane wins his next fight. Let's put these two guys together for the fourth time. I don't know where he goes now. Mike, what do you think?
He's taken so much damage, and, you know, you can't take away his position from him, and I don't really necessarily want to see it either. You know, saying that he's taken a lot of damage, I mean, he and Alistair Overeem would actually be, and I don't want to say it would be loser leaves town, but, you know, if Dos Santos takes an incredible beating, you know, you go, oh, okay, you know, where do we go from here with him? And if Dos Santos beats Overeem, you can kind of, I don't know. Again, I don't know how much further over him I can't see being Cain Velasquez, but I guess anything's possible in the heavyweight division of the UFC. But I guess that fight, I guess, would make the most sense to do. Although, you know, aesthetically, it's not fun to think about for either guy, you know, taking the punishment that they're going to take. Although with that said, I mean, that could also set up, you know, Stipe Miocic and Travis Brown. You could do out of that, too, which, you know, that's another one where talk about a hell of a lot of punishment that's going to be taken. That's another one.
Anything else?
Something about TLC as well.
Sure.
Do you think it's time for Dean Ambrose to get his first pay-per-view win of 2014?
I think it's been his time to get that win for a long time now, actually.
Make the most sense
especially
tonight, it would.
From it at Hell in a Cell, you know? It seemed like it was the right time to Hell in a Cell, and it hasn't happened. So,
it is amazing how that works.
They had a place to go, right? It was this. And they had to get Rollins out of there. That's at least what they did.
I do believe that he will win tonight, but I suppose anything is possible. Has he really not had one single win on pay-per-view this whole year?
As a singles, that's possible.
Not as a singles.
Good Lord. And you wonder why nobody gets over in this company. I never even thought about it, but now that I think about it, it's mind-numbing.
Not going hard enough after that brass ring, apparently.
That's right. That's why I thought it should be hanging above the ring in that ladder match was a brass ring. I want to thank
like
you very
Triple
much
H
for the call.
Did you like the cute tweet after NXT that his box of gold rings is all gone?
Well, that's right. Ring? That's right. Fascinating. If you want to give us a call, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Yes, Dean Ambrose is wrestling tonight against Bray Wyatt. It is a tables, ladders, and chairs match. It is the final pay-per-view of the year. I don't see any reason that Dean Ambrose should lose this match. Anything is possible. We could look at the odds, but it probably won't matter till about 15 minutes before the pay-per-view. But I would be baffled if he does not win this particular battle. But I guess anything is possible. And I did, by the way, get an email here from somebody who is alerting me that UHA has not turned down WWE. The rumor is false. So wherever that came from, apparently there is nothing to it. So there you go. Let's go back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. It's Shane from Orange County.
What's up, Shane?
Hey, how's it going? I'm your guy that keeps bombarding you with PWG tweets.
I knew you would be calling about this today.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I was going to ask you, so it looks like Ring of Honor is pulling some of their talent then, huh?
I did not hear that. Where did you hear that?
If you go on Twitter, so Joey Ryan kind of was saying that that was Kyle O'Reilly's last show.
I see.
And then I look at Kyle O'Reilly's and he was saying, you know, this isn't goodbye. It's just it's not farewell. It's just see you later or something like that. But then Tommaso Ciampa and Cedric Alexander were like, well, we can still go. So,
well, again, it all depends on a person's contract status. If somebody is under contract with Ring of Honor, then Ring of Honor may pull them. If a person is not under contract with Ring of Honor, or you also have to think about the level of somebody on the show. Tommaso Ciampa just lost at the pay-per-view. I don't think they've got like huge plans for him at any time. And so, you know, he could probably still work PWG without being concerned he might get hurt there. And not be able to work for Ring of Honor. Hey, listen, stand by. We're going to head to a break. We'll hold you over and come back to you when we get back. Wrestling Observer Live here, everybody. Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. And we lost that call. What I was saying before the break was that as far as ROH goes and PWG, my feeling is that if somebody is not under a Ring of Honor contract, they could probably work all of the PWG that they want. If they do have a Ring of Honor contract, ROH can decide whether or not they can work a show. And I presume that whether or not somebody could work a show is probably based on where they are on the card. So if Tommaso Ciampa is under contract and Kyle O'Reilly is under contract, Kyle O'Reilly being much higher on the card, there may be more concern about him getting hurt. Obviously, there would be concern that Ciampa got hurt as well, but I'm just saying that if Ciampa got hurt, it's not going to badly screw up storylines while he's off to recover, as opposed to somebody like Kyle O'Reilly or obviously a Jay Briscoe, who's the Ring of Honor champion. And so I think that's how things will go from here on out. I would be surprised if they pulled the talent, especially those who aren't making a living wage from Ring of Honor. It's kind of hard to not pay somebody a living wage and then not allow them to work other shows. So I think it will be largely on a case-by-case basis. And yes, Adam Cole is gone through at least March, needing shoulder surgery. We can talk more about this in hour two. Plus, take your phone calls at 855-478-4478. Back after the hourly break, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Saturday and Sunday. Wrestling Observer Weekend, Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone. We're available on the American Forces Network, the cable radio network, streaming online worldwide at WrestlingObserver.com, SportsByline.com, iHeartRadio, as well as TuneIn Radio. You can check that out on your phone, on your Apple TV. You can listen to the show on Apple TV. I'm sure Roku as well. There's a million places to listen to this program. The most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts combined radio show in the world. It is TLC Sunday here. And after the next break, we're going to go back to the phones. If you want to give us a call, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Stand by until after the commercial to give us a call here. We're going to be previewing the WWE TLC show. We can talk more about the NXT special from this past Thursday night. An excellent show. There's been a lot of mixed martial arts this weekend. If anybody wants to talk about the Ultimate Fighter finale or last night's UFC with Junior Dos Santos and Stipe Miocic in the main event, we can talk about that as well. Plus, in about a half hour now, the WWE Network pre-show is going to be on the air. We will be covering that live as we do some pre-show matches for the TLC pay-per-view available on the WWE Network. The New Day is going to be facing Gold and Stardust in a tag team match that's coming up in a little while here on the WWE Network. So when we come back, your phone calls, 855-478-4478. We'll take your Twitter questions as well. If you have any of those, at Brian Alvarez or at Semper Vivi on Twitter. So check it out. The odds are coming up as well for the pay-per-view. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And yes, if you want to give us a call, you can do so right now, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada. And I was bombarded with notes on my Twitter that, in fact, the pre-show is on the air right now. So we got it on here in the background. They're previewing the Bray Wyatt match here with Dean Ambrose. There's a storyline built around a broken chair, Mike. What do you think of this storyline?
Well, I guess it would make sense because it's TLC, right? I mean, I guess.
That's right. There is a chair involved. I hadn't thought of that.
Well, it's, sure. Why not?
Wow.
They had to do something. Obviously, they wanted to do this and have Rollins go in a different direction, and they started up with Ambrose and Bray Wyatt, and this would have been better because I can't really complain about it too much because of who's involved, and I'm not as tired of Bray Wyatt and his act as a lot of other people seem to be. I'm completely fine with it. It's just they had a lack of creativity leading into this where, yes, they destroyed each other a bunch of times, but it was just, okay, things got broken. It was a bunch of plunder, and Dean Ambrose had a crushed trachea that was not a crushed trachea or whatever it was. And it was just they made it a little overly dramatic with the injury to Ambrose, but they also, you know, they didn't do much to make it, you know, dramatic enough with the fact that it was just the same ending every time out.
All right, let's head to the phones here. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello there. Going once. Going twice. He's out of here. I got the odds here for this show. The New Day and Gold and Stardust. The New Day is a minus 16,000 favorite, Mike.
It's good. They should be.
That seems to indicate that their odds of winning are good.
That's
in fact, literally,
solid there.
Literally, their odds of winning are good. That is the pre-show
great,
match,
actually.
Everybody. It's coming up here in just a moment. Try this phone again. Some people are having problems with the phones today. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
What's up, Brian and Mike? Chris from Nacogdoches, Texas.
There we go. What's up, Chris?
Hey, not much. I got a real quick question. I saw where Alberto El Patron has signed to appear in Ring of Honor, and I was wondering what does that mean that he will not be in the second season of Lucha Underground, like a lot of the rumors said? Or is there still a chance for that? I know Lucha Underground has these contracts that a lot of people didn't want to sign. So I was just wondering, what's the likelihood of that?
That is an exceedingly good question, and I do not have the answer to it right now. But I will try to get something resembling an answer before the show goes off the air. How does that sound?
That's cool, man. No worries.
All right. Well, I'll try and update you. I'll do some communication here during some of the breaks. Well, thanks very much for the call. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello there. I believe this is the same person who's having a great deal of... Didn't we have a guy from India who couldn't figure out how to call in? Do you remember this, Mike?
He had some sort of issue. Yeah, I couldn't remember what it was.
That's right. If this is you listening to us right now and we can't hear you, it is possible you've got a mute button on. maybe click that button right there. The line is active. I know somebody is there. Hello there. All right, nice try.
Maybe it's a ghost.
It could be.
Maybe whoever it is seeing Renee Young in what she's wearing, very glittery right there, and they're getting thrown off by it.
That is true. Let's look at some of the other odds here. We've got the Dean Ambrose-Bray Wyatt match, which we were just talking about. Obviously, these odds are a pretty good indication of who's winning, but nothing, trust me, nothing is final until it's final. Bray Wyatt at this point is a minus 2,000 favorite over Dean Ambrose. So what do I know about Dean Ambrose getting his first win on pay-per-view this year? Apparently he's not gonna, according to these odds. Bray Wyatt wins again.
I guess, sure. I guess if they have some sort of rock-solid plan for both of those guys afterwards, I guess I could be okay with that, but I would hope they have something very good for Bray Wyatt if they're going to have him go over Dean Ambrose right now.
My God, look at Naomi.
No problem looking at Naomi right there. Yes, right now she's conversing with The Miz and his stunt double Miz Now. I'm sure Miz is still pushing the producer slash director, whoever it is, that he has got set up for Naomi, which caused Jimmy Uso to be very upset.
I officially declare that Naomi has passed her screen test. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Jay in Vancouver.
What's up, Jay?
Not too much. I just wanted to talk a bit about the NXT show and the TLC show a little later today. I mean, I absolutely loved our Evolution. I thought it was one of the best WWE shows of the year. And do you think a show like that is going to create almost kind of competition between the main product and NXT? Because that was one of the main things I was thinking of. And I think that's a really good thing, that if the developmental, if NXT can really push the main roster to, you know, do a much
better job. It's funny that you should mention this, because I was thinking about this the other day. Hunter had Natalya, or I'm sorry, he had Charlotte come up to the main roster, and she faced Natalya on Raw. Everybody is well aware of this.
Yeah.
And the idea was, we've got this NXT R Evolution special on Thursday, and so let's put an NXT star on Raw, showcase them, and then plug the show that's coming up on Thursday. And the idea was that they were going to do a tag team showcase match. And the day of the show, Vince McMahon decided that no, Natalya and Charlotte are going to do a singles match, and Natalya is going to win. Now, Hunter cannot say this publicly, but it was very clear, if you listen to the conference call that he did on Wednesday, that this was not his idea, nor did he think it was a good idea. And I was really thinking about it, and I've never interviewed Hunter about this. I don't know. This is all my speculation. But I would bet pretty good money that there's a lot of things going on in WWE right now that Hunter, if he had his way, would not be doing. And so I think that there's that part of him that thinks, okay, fine, I'm going to make this NXT show and this NXT special so awesome, and I'm going to do these matches, I'm going to debut these people, I'm going to showcase these performers, I am going to put on an awesome show, and I'm going to show the old man how it's done. Now, this is all great because we had a great NXT special, but there's also that part of me that thinks, even though NXT is part of Vince McMahon's WWE, Vince is a very, very competitive person. And no matter what the guy says, there's that part of me that thinks when he brings these guys up to his main roster, he's going to do something to let you, the viewer, know that these guys aren't as good as his guys. And I saw it happen with my own eyes on Monday, and it's so counterproductive, but I don't think Vince can help himself. I think that there are going to be guys that are called up to the main roster, and they're going to be beaten in their debut. I think he's going to bring up a guy like Sami Zayn, and he's going to have to work his ass off to get to the point he is right now in NXT. I don't think Vince can help himself. He is going to...
Kevin Owens will be wearing polka dots.
That's right. He can't help himself. The best thing that could happen is if Vince and Hunter were battling to see who could put on the better product. But even if they did that best case scenario, Vince is still going to have the, upper hand when these guys get called up to the main roster, and it may not be good for them. I don't know if anything is going to happen, but when I watched Raw and I watched the NXT special, that's all I could think about. Vince is going to show the world that these NXT guys, they're really not as good as you think they are.
Yeah, because I mean, NXT obviously has the advantage because they have the talent, and it's only an hour a week, and they have the quarterly specials, which have always been awesome. And then, of course, Raw is, like you guys always say, you know, it's 3 hours long. It's just so much garbage thrown in and time and waste of time and stuff like that. But, I mean, I just don't understand why they can't just promote NXT better than they have been doing on the main roster, at least that they could at least do that, because I agree with you. I do not trust Vince or whoever's in charge of writing on the main roster to handle these guys properly. Like, I love Sami Zayn, but if he gets called up, I'm not so sure that they're going to do a good job with him. I mean, the only guy I can probably imagine getting over immediately and them not screwing up is probably Finn Balor, just because he looks he's just such an absolute star.
Well, like we gotta head to a break. I want to thank you very much for the call. We'll talk about this more when we come back. I've got a lot to say. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi here on the line as well. And phones are ringing. If you want to join the show, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. We are watching the WWE TLC show as we speak. And Mike, before we go to this call here, the Finn Balor entrance, since it was talked about on the last call, that may have been, outside of WrestleMania's, the best ring entrance I have seen on a WWE show maybe in over a decade.
Stardust is very upset with you, as well as Alexa Bliss. Better than both of those?
I would say without a doubt.
Yeah, it was really
Alexa
good.
Bliss's entrance is much cuter. I will give her that.
Yes, much more adorable. Absolutely. The adorable factor, definitely. Stardust may have a higher creepy factor, although the Finn Balor one was really good. If you've ever seen him in New Japan, the former Prince Devitt, they got into this thing with painting themselves up. The Bullet Club does it over there, but I don't know if it was, I can't remember if it was like the Dark Spider-Man thing. I can't remember exactly what it was inspired from, but Balor now, for those who haven't seen it, has got this whole painted upper torso and neck, and they've actually already come out. I guess this has been planned because they already have a T-shirt out from him. For those who are unaware, you can buy NXT gear as well, too, Charlotte shirts and things like that. And they've come out with a shirt for him already. So there's obviously I don't know if he's going to be up on the main roster anytime soon. He probably should be, but they have things in place. If he's not going to be on the main roster soon, he's going to be a heavy part of NXT. And good for him, and that's good for viewers, too, because he is fantastic.
I got a rant here. Hold on a second, Mike. Are you watching the network right now?
Let me flip it back on here.
Dear God Almighty, one of the things I cannot handle about this promotion nowadays, they're doing an Ask Ziggler segment. And we've got Tom Phillips, who actually is starting to grow on me because he's the most amazingly generic man I've ever seen.
Even with the hair growing out?
Yes. And they're taking questions from fans for Dolph Ziggler. Now imagine, like, all of the time you have in your life and all of the things there are to do in the world on a Sunday afternoon, and you're considering devoting your time to watching this Ask Ziggler segment. You know what the questions they're asking from fans are? This fan, the question they asked, have you ever thought of setting your sights on the WWE World Heavyweight title? What?
How did he answer that? Because that could be a very interesting one.
How do you plan on winning the title back tonight?
Are you trying to say that these are made up questions?
I'm trying to say there's no point to any of this. It's a complete waste of time. Nothing that they're doing in this segment could possibly make anybody interested in this pay-per-view at all.
They had 5 hours of first run major cable television time to fill, and they didn't do it there either. What are you so shocked about?
Just disgusting.
It's like running $9.99 commercials. Now, granted, this could be, I guess this is playing for cable companies as far as the Barker channel goes, but the fact that they have so many $9.99 ads on the network all day long when you've already gotten it.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is David from Atlanta.
David, what's going on?
Nothing much. Just got a couple questions for you guys. The first is, So the idea seems to put Reigns over Lesnar at WrestleMania. And the story is sort of he conquers the unbeatable monster. But do you think it hurts that story, the fact that Lesnar will have only faced Cena and maybe Cena again, or Cena and, say, Orton by the time he gets to WrestleMania? Or do you think it's enough that Reigns beats Lesnar at WrestleMania to make Reigns a huge star?
Well, there are two ways to look at it. Number one, the fact that Brock is almost never around makes him more special and unique. And so you want Roman Reigns to be the most special and unique guy on the entire roster if you're going to pass the torch to the guy. And so there is the argument that even though he's only had a handful of matches and they're almost all going to be against John Cena, because you never see the guy, because he's something special and he's above the company in some ways, that's the kind of guy that you want Roman Reigns to beat. Now, the other argument,
right.
The other argument would be that, you know, if I were doing it, I'd have to really think about this because maybe this wouldn't be the best thing for the company. But ideally, Brock would have gone through John Cena, Randy Orton, Triple H, every single top star month after month after month. He would have wiped out the entire company, essentially. And finally, Roman Reigns right. sets up and he beats the monster. Now, really, for that to work and to not destroy everybody else on the roster, you would have to have Brock around for another year or so. And so all those guys that he beat could now come back and beat him as he's on his way out. It's really the only way you can do it without burying your whole roster. So really, of the two options, I think the way they're doing it right now is probably the best.
Okay. Makes sense. Yeah, I agree with that. And quickly, number two, on Sami Zayn, he's a guy who seems like he's got it. He can get over no matter what happens. But his big thing on NXT was, I'm a wrestler. I've dedicated my life to this. I want to win. I want to win the championship. And they told a great story with that. But when he gets up to the main roster, wins don't matter. Losses don't matter. The championships barely matter. So what story do they tell with this guy?
The story they're going to tell is the easiest story. He is an underdog, and he is beloved. And he has got something that nobody else on that entire roster has. And that is, he's just about the most likable guy. I may even go as far as to say he may be more likable than Daniel Bryan. I'm not entirely sure, because Daniel Bryan is ridiculously likable. But Sami Zayn has really got something. And granted, obviously Daniel Bryan does as well. But a lot of those guys in NXT who get over because they win or get over because they're pushed well, I mean, that's going to all go away on the main roster. The Ascension is a great example. The Ascension was undefeated forever. They ain't going to be undefeated forever when they go to the main roster. So they better have something else, and I don't know what that's going to be. But Sami Zayn, you can strip everything away from him, and he's the most likable guy in the world. And that's why I think no matter what happens, he's got a great chance.
All right, great. Thanks.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Mike, I wanted to mention this to you. You probably heard this last night on the Observer Radio, but if you can explain to me, I have $100 on the line if you can do this. If you can explain to me why on Raw tomorrow night they cannot show an in-depth 3-minute, which is not very in-depth, but go with me, a 3-minute NXT Our Revolution video package, a highlight look at the event, a look at Sami Zayn's big win over Adrian Neville, all of the great action, the title change, the celebration, the post-match attack by Kevin Owens. Why can't they do that? It gets Sami Zayn over. It's almost like a vignette for his upcoming arrival. It is a great way to push the WWE Network. It gets Sami Zayn and all of the stars of NXT over to a huge audience. It potentially brings a huge audience to NXT every Thursday night. I cannot think of one single reason to not do this.
Be- because it's WWE, and Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon have power there. And as we talked about earlier, they can do what they want. And let's face facts, there's going to be a half hour opening. I take that back. There's going to be a planned 15-minute talking segment to open the show, because there always is. That will go long, end up at 25 minutes, possibly even longer than that. Everything will be thrown asunder. And they don't like to promote themselves or this network very well anyway. So that would be the reason why it's not going to happen. As far as could it happen? Yes. Should it happen? Of course it should. Will it happen? No, and you'll probably lose $100 because you would have to have faith in them wanting to kind of break out of their mentality that they're in, and Charlotte being treated like she was on Monday night, which went completely anti everything, whether it's buying the network, promoting your own product, which is on the network, promoting a woman who is going to be one of your future cogs, probably the future cog in the women's, the diva side of things. Hey, it didn't make any sense at all, but that's what they do, and that's what they've been doing.
To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Eric from Chicago, Illinois.
What's up, Eric?
Hey, how's it going? I just called in to say I am very disappointed that no one has mentioned this yet, and maybe somebody has mentioned this, and I just missed it, but I'm disappointed that nobody mentioned the missed time cue in the Seth Green match. I mean, first off, immediately, as soon as the bell starts, the commentators check out and start talking about other crap. And then they're talking, and boom, there's a commercial. What? I did my best Brian Alvarez impression right there, but what? I mean, this company is so incompetent. It's getting worse by the week. Last week, they cut to a commercial mid-suplex. This week, they cut to a commercial mid-sentence. I mean, with that and the Charlotte booking and everything else, oh, my God, this show.
You know what's funny is in the old days, and I'm talking like a year ago, I could watch Raw and I could listen to the announcers and I would know a good 5 seconds in advance when to hit the fast forward button because I knew they were about to go to commercial. Now, I don't know until they're already at the commercial. But I will say this, in defense of the announcers, think about how hard it is to get through that 3-hour show. These announcers have to sit there for 3 hours trying to stay interested. I mean,
get yelled at in their ear.
Oh my God, you're being yelled at in your ear. You have to pretend like you care and you don't have internet that you can surf or Facebook or whatever. That I know every single one of you listening to this, don't lie to me. You're doing something during Raw. It's just a fact. It's impossible not to, but these announcers can't. They have to pretend like they're interested for 3 full hours, and we get what we get on Monday nights. I want to thank you very much for the call. We got to head to a break. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. You can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. We have daily news updates and more radio than you could possibly do anything with. Over 6,000 hours of audio in our archives. Every single show we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available in our library for subscribers. It's only $10.99 a month. And aside from all of the past shows, you get 2 brand new shows every single day, except Sundays. Sundays, you get 3 shows. This will be the first. I'll be up later with Vinny talking SmackDown, the TLC pay-per-view, and an amazing story, a shocking story, tonight here on the program. Dave Meltzer will also be up later on with myself. We'll be talking the TLC pay-per-view. Should be a good time this evening. We'll be up after Raw tomorrow. AJ Styles is on the show tomorrow. We got a lot of great guests coming up as well, so check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99 a month. If you like this show, you will love your subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. And by the way, you get full access to Wrestling Observer, the newsletter, as well as the Figure 4 Weekly newsletter. Figure 4 Weekly, full color PDF, comes out every single week. And starting tomorrow, it will be available on the Kindle every week as well. We've got a very well formatted Kindle edition of Figure 4 Weekly that will be on sale starting tomorrow on Amazon.com. So check that out. As well as, while you're up there, Death of WCW, which is available right now. My book on, yes, the death of WCW. Enough plugs. If you want to give us a call, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. 478-4478. Give us a call right now. We are watching the New Day against Gold and Stardust. And at one point, Big E threw Cody in the air and somebody drop-kicked his face right out of midair, nearly killed the poor guy. So quite the match going on here. And Mike, what do you think are the favorites in the top matches here on the show? Have you seen the odds yet?
I'm going to them right now, actually.
That's cheating. Who do you think is going to win, John Cena or Seth Rollins?
Oof. I will go with John Cena.
Heavy, heavy favorite at minus 6,000.
Assume Brock Lesnar too. Paul E. On the pre-show. Brock Lesnar will be back tomorrow.
Oh, they did announce on the pre-show.
I don't know if they have. Paul Heyman was there, but it would make sense considering I think we had talked about last week. Brock would not be at the Slammies because they wanted to use that appearance for something else, possibly the Monday after TLC, which would be tomorrow night.
Would be really nice if they had told us on Raw to the 4 million people that were watching the show on average that Brock, the champion, was going to make a rare return to the show next week, but they did not.
Well,
they had more important things to talk about.
Maybe they won't do it.
More important things to talk about there. And by the way, on Twitter here, someone says, the first match in, the announcers are already blowing off matches with silly talk. Excellent.
Exactly what a New Day needs, too.
That's right. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? You are on the air, my friend. What's up? It's this guy again.
Hello?
Hey, there we go.
Hey, how's it going? This is Mike in Buffalo.
Mike, what's going on?
Nothing. I'm calling to ask what you guys thought about Nick Diaz's fight last night and how he got, to me, he got dominated. And I don't know, do you guys think it's because of the layoff that he took? I don't know what his prep was, you know, going into the fight last night, but he didn't seem to even care about the fight. And then, you know, at the end, he started, like, doing the slapping, all that stuff, like kind of trash talking. And I just don't get the Diaz brothers, especially Nick, more specifically.
Well, there was Nate last night. I used to always think that Nate was the more level-headed of the two, and he has proven me wrong. A complete numbskull. This guy is an idiot. The story is, I don't know what it was, because while complaining about 9 million things, he refused to say what injury he had suffered. But he said that he had an injury going into the fight. And based on the fact that he missed weight by 5 pounds, I believe that he did have some sort of injury coming into the fight. I will say that, injury or no injury, Nate Diaz has a tendency to not check a lot of kicks. And so his opponent went into the ring last night and kicked his legs repeatedly and nearly broke them off, like he was chopping down a tree. Whether he was injured or not, Nate fought a horrible fight. He had a horrible week. He's a complete idiot, and I really don't know what else to say about that. Mike, what do you think?
Well, if you're a Bills fan, let me first congratulate you for the win over the Packers today and just throw in there that, you know, they showed it last night. He walked out of the pre-fight interview. He didn't show up for the pre-fight workout, missed something else, if I'm not mistaken, has been
walked out, you know, of an interview.
Yeah, been running off at the mouth about the sponsor. And again, he's got you can make a case for the sponsorship thing. It's a completely separate issue. It's just when you wrap all these things together, it proves he's not been wrapped too tight here recently. And he's really, again, he's got a career in Bellator, obviously, but he has really put himself in a really bad position with the UFC, especially because he has complained about money so often and he has left so much of it on the table with his performance last night, as well as his actions leading into it. And I'm a fan of the Diaz brothers. I am. With that said, it's gotten to the point with Nate that, You know, figure something out, dude. Either, you know, get out of there. I don't know how many fights he's got left.
Get
UFC.
A clue, you idiot.
Well, let's say either get out of there and go do whatever it is you want to do, or go fight with Bellator, or go where you think the grass is greener and just kind of let it go with the UFC, because this was a poor performance all around. And Nick Diaz, you can say there's far more money in than Nate, so you can sort of look the other way if you wanted to, especially because, you know, and God knows we got Nick Diaz and Anderson Silva coming up, so who knows if any wackiness could take place there, although I think Nick Diaz's respect for Anderson Silva is going to prevent that. But when it comes to Nate, it's hard to, what does the UFC really need with Nate Diaz? Who needs who here? You know, he's a great fighter when he's on, but when he's not on, you know, he looks bad. And is he a champion contender in that division right now? He most certainly is not. So does the UFC really need the headache? No, it's arguable they do, but I would say no.
Yeah, sorry about that. It was Nate. I don't know why I kept saying Nick. I had him in the brain.
Well, they're both numbskulls, Mike, to be fair. Fan.
Yeah, they are. Mike, I am a Bills fan. We were at the game today. It was a great game. I don't know how they beat Aaron Rodgers. I know the defense on the Bills is pretty good, but I'm shocked that they beat Aaron Rodgers today. And then real quick on the TLC, I'm only watching tonight, in all honesty, guys, because I have the network. I'm not watching for any other reason other than I subscribe to the network, and because I like to watch the old school ECW stuff and the old WCW pay-per-views and things like that. And obviously the NXT show Thursday for things like that. But TLC tonight has absolutely zero juice. And I'm afraid that if Cena loses tonight, we're going to see Cena and Brock at WrestleMania. And knowing Brock's contract, Cena's probably going to be leaving Mania with the belt if that happens. So I'm really hoping Cena wins tonight so we can clear Cena and Brock out of the way at the Rumble so we can, you know, move on at WrestleMania.
Well, according to the odds right here, it's your lucky day. It looks like John Cena probably is winning tonight. I mean, the plan all along was to do John Cena versus Brock Lesnar at Royal Rumble, so they would have had to have a serious change in plans for him to not win tonight. So I think they will get that out of the way, and then no Cena versus Brock in Mania.
And it gives you the possibility, too, of both Randy Orton and or Roman Reigns possibly coming out tonight, which could, you know, again, then you can go with whoever that person's going to be in Rollins. I don't know I wouldn't have Reigns on there. I would wait till the Royal Rumble with him. But, you know, Orton coming back tonight could make complete sense with Orton and Rollins fighting over the Money in the Bank title or something like that. Maybe that can be their match at the Royal Rumble or something along those lines, and we get Cena Brock.
There's a tweet here that really upsets me.
Is it from Ed?
And I don't even blame this guy, because this guy is actually being very logical, and I'm sure he's right. It's not even his fault. This is a great tweet by Ken here, but the content of it annoys me. He says, of course Dean Ambrose loses tonight to Bray Wyatt. He wins on Tribute to Troops on Wednesday. Ken here is absolutely right. As noted, I'm not mad at Ken, but the more I think about the concept of this even Steven booking for this feud, I just want to tear my hair out.
Well, for God's sakes, for any
what
time
better
they do,
way
it's
to
ridiculous.
Not get guys over?
That's been their problem nonstop. I mean, it's again, it's stop starts and not investing in pushes and things like 50-50 booking, where if everybody's average, who can be special? It's idiotic.
I mean, listen, you want to get Dean Ambrose over, then he beats Bray Wyatt 5 times in a row, for crying out loud. Why does Bray even need one win back? Put Bray in another feud and let him beat some guys. This is like if you wanted to have, how many different opponents did Bruno Sammartino have through the 60s, through the mid-70s? A couple dozen?
Yeah, tons.
Yeah, did they all have to beat him clean in the middle, like every other time that he was going to beat them? No, maybe they won on a count out to set up a title match.
Hey, the 3-match formula, and it worked beautifully for them.
Just drives me crazy. Nobody can be beaten unless they get to beat somebody else. So nobody gets over. No, nobody is over on this entire TLC card. I hate
Natty
to be ranting and raving about WWE,
point.
But I don't care one bit about this show. I don't care about anybody on this show. And it's amazing because I loved that NXT show on Thursday so much. I will just to clarify, I did not shed a tear during the main event, but I almost shed a tear. I cared about that match. I cared about Sami Zayn. I cared about everybody on that show. I loved that show with every ounce of my being.
Marking out, bro.
And I cannot possibly care less about TLC. I don't care about Raw. I don't care about the Slammies last week.
Hey, that gentleman
Why?
Made a great point too. He's watching the show tonight because he has the network. Carl Stern, who is a little bit older than us, but not much, but he is, you know, lived through the 80s boom and lived through the 90s, late 90s boom, and here we are today. And I think he is like a lot of people where he'll have Raw on and he may not watch it, but he'll have it on at least in the background because that's just what you've done on Mondays. Now, how is that helping new people coming along to try to get them emotionally invested? I don't know, but their average age is still around our age, which is north of 35 years old, which is not good. And they're not giving you a reason to get the network for your kids or anything like that. It's all the way across the board in so many facets of things. They are making mistakes that they shouldn't make. Like, you know, again, it's even like production, small things like going to break and stuff like that. We'd make fun of TNA, you know, and the old WCW guys for making those mistakes all the time. You know, in WWE, you always knew if nothing else, even if their creative stunk, all the other bells and whistles would be on point. They haven't been on point, and it's very, very frustrating.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Lewis from California.
Lewis, what's going on?
Not much. I just have a quick question about Seth Rollins. What do you guys, or, you know, when do you guys think he'll cash in the Money in the Bank briefcase? You know, he's had it since June, and assuming the one-year rule is still in effect, he only got until, you know, next year's pay-per-view to cash it in, and then also assuming Reigns wins at Mania, you know, when it says Rollins going to cash it in, you know,
it for Fastlane because you want to, you know, technically moving Elimination Chamber out of February, you could try to create some drama depending on what they do with the world title situation. You could build some drama for Fastlane that way if you wanted to.
Yeah, I want to thank you very much for the call. We have to head to a break, but we'll talk about this more a little bit when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here with the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Pre-show for TLC is wrapping up right now. Paul Heyman is there. He's got an energy drink in front of him, which is all he needs. The last caller was asking about Seth Rollins, when he's going to cash in. I can't see him cashing in before Mania. The idea that he's going to try to cash in on Brock, I think, is unlikely. I mean, they kind of have played in the storyline a little bit because Seth did attack Brock at the last Night of Champions or whatever it was, but I think it'll most likely be an attempted cash-in on Roman Reigns, maybe after the Mania main event, maybe the next month's pay-per-view, but a lot of different ways they could go.
And Renee Young, during this thing, has announced that Brock Lesnar will be defending the title officially at the Royal Rumble in Philadelphia.
What a shocking announcement.
Yes, I know. Can you believe it?
We had somebody on Twitter here that was talking about the announcers. He said, if the pre-show is any indication, the commentary on this show is going to be brutal.
Booker T in the house, y'all. I don't know if he did a Shucky Ducky Rubber Duck special, but we still have some time.
That's right. Well, everybody, TLC is about to kick off, so make sure you check it out on the WWE Network. I'm going to be back later on tonight. Two more shows. Vinny and I are going to be up shortly after the show goes off the air with a brand new show. We'll talk TLC, SmackDown. Got a special guest with a wild story this evening. Also later on, Dave Meltzer and I are going to be up talking the TLC pay-per-view, all of the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts, plus your questions to mailbag at WrestlingObserver.com. Tomorrow, even more shows. AJ Styles is going to be on the show. We'll have another edition of Wrestling Observer Radio. You can check all of this out as a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out. I want to thank Mike, as always, all the folks at Sports Byline USA, all of you as well. Back next week with a brand new show. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.